Welcome to the Five Pastors. What would you give for knowledge that would provide the answers to life's greatest questions? Lighthouse FM Radio invites you to stay tuned for the next half hour, an investment that just may lighten your path of life. Join us now as Pastor Jeff Potts shares today's message.
It's good to be with you this Sabbath, and we're grateful that you've joined us for worship. Let's have another word of prayer together. Father, at this time, as we open the scriptures, we pray for your spirit to speak to us. Throughout this journey, the last several Sabbaths, we've been talking about transformation, and we pray that your spirit would change our lives to make us more and more like Jesus. We pray now that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So today, transformed by serving is our topic. We wrap up our transformation series today. Our theme verse has been Romans 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed, you know, to this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. A couple quick questions about this verse. First of all, who is it that transforms us? The Bible says it's God that transforms us. And secondly, how does he do it? And the Bible tells us it's by changing the way we think. And so, friends, realize today we can let God transforms. We don't change ourselves. In fact, we cannot change ourselves. You know, the Bible says we can't change our skin color. Leopards can't change their spots. But God can change us. The Holy Spirit will transform us if we let him. And this work, I want to encourage you, it is a work that God will surely complete in our lives as long as we cooperate with him. Philippians 1, verse 6 in the Message, it says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. And so God is able to finish the work that he started in you. He's able to finish the work he started in me. But realize that this will not be done in a day. It is the work of a lifetime. And as long as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, when Jesus appears, we will be like him, transformed by the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus. So we, today, just to review a little bit where we've been, transformed by scripture, transformed by prayer, transformed by celebration, transformed by solitude, and now today, transformed by serving. And I encourage you to keep all of these things in mind because they are activities that we engage in regularly in this transformation journey. And there are other things as well. But these are the environments we place ourselves in intentionally so that the Holy Spirit can change us and make us more and more like Jesus. Serving is the antidote for pride. And pride is the oldest sin in the book, folks. If you remember, it was Lucifer in heaven who actually felt that he was so beautiful and so wise and so perfect that he coveted the throne of God, the power of God. He wanted to be like the Most High. It was this sin of pride that led to the downfall of Lucifer. And it was this same sin of pride that led to the downfall of Adam and Eve. Remember, the serpent in the garden told Eve that she would be like God if she would just take that fruit and eat it. And so sin, the sin of pride, is the oldest sin in the book, and serving combats it. Serving is the antidote for this sin. And so we want to focus on serving today, transformed. It will change us as we engage regularly in serving others. As we get older, this sin of pride morphs into some more sophisticated things. We have this preoccupation with our image and our appearance. We're more concerned really with how people perceive us many times than we are with our own character. We're often stubborn. We don't like to be corrected, you know. We know how to do it. And of course, it's my way or the highway very often. And so this stubbornness is also a symptom of pride. And then we compare ourselves with others. The Bible says if we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we are not wise. But it's not good enough for us to be wealthy. It's not good enough for us to be wise. We want to be the wealthiest and the wisest. You know, we have to compare ourselves. And this sin of pride, it starts early, but it seems to take a real hold of our lives. And serving will empty us of pride. And so today, we want to focus on humility rather than pride. And nothing works humility into us better than serving. Scripture calls us to humility. Jesus calls us to humility. Of course, Proverbs 18:12 says, "Proud people will be ruined, but the humble will be honored." There's so many verses about humility in the Bible. The challenge is we know we ought to be humble. We're just not sure it's all that desirable. If we're honest, many of us know we should be humble. We just don't want to be humble. Friends, serving will create that desire for humility and will work it into our lives. At its core, humility is healthy self-forgetfulness. It's not thinking less of ourselves, it is thinking of ourselves less. And so if I continue to serve well and serve without thought of myself, but thinking rather of others, that service continued day after day will remove pride from my life and replace it with humility. And that's the joy of being transformed by serving. Humility, when we understand what it really is, it's very freeing. It's a beautiful gift, really. We don't have to pretend we're somebody we're not. We can just be free of all that burden. And so humility is a wonderful, wonderful gift. When we serve others, especially without recognition, it just works this humility into every fiber of our lives. Humility is a blessing. It's not a burden. So how do we get humility? Well, more than any other single way, the grace of humility has worked into our lives through service. Service to others. It really matters, and it transforms us. So today, two questions really about service. First of all, why should we serve others? And secondly, how can we serve others? That's where we're going. Fasten your seatbelts. Let's take a look, first of all, at why should we serve others? I'm going to share three things here. First of all, not for the approval of others, but for God's approval. We don't serve to please others. We serve to please God. And of course, Galatians 1:10, Paul says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." Friends, it's a very insightful thing here. Paul says, if I were still trying to please men. In other words, this was a journey for him. You know, he realized that in his earlier life, he had this people-pleasing attitude. He said, look, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Ultimately, our goal is to please God. I have a magnet on my filing cabinet at home. It says, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. And I live to please him. I would like to please you, I would, but that's not my goal in life. My goal in life is to please the Lord. And of course, Jesus said this in John 12:43 about the Jews who believed in him but did not confess their faith. He says, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Be honest. Do you love the praise from men? That's a challenge for us. And this speaks to really this whole issue of serving. We serve to please God, not to please other people. When we have this problem with living to please others, we refer to that often as approval addiction. A number of years ago, Joyce Meyer wrote a book, Approval Addiction, Overcoming Your Need to Please Everyone. And so I ask you this question. I ask myself the question, how can I tell if I'm an approval addict? How do I know? five symptoms here. I'm probably an approval addict if I'm often hurt by what other people say about me. Be honest. Do you feel that sting when others criticize you? If so, you're probably an approval addict. I'm probably an approval addict if I frequently compare myself to others, you know, thinking, boy, I'm better than that person. I'm sure better than that one, you know. And if I have this habit, frequently comparing myself to others, I'm probably an approval addict. I'm probably an approval addict if I find myself being overly competitive. It's not enough to be good. I've got to be the best, you see. I saw a car license plate here in Lacombe the other day. And the license was I, H, and then the number 8, and then the number 2, lose. I hate to lose. And I thought, wow, that's quite an insight into that person's character. The fact of the matter is, if we are overly competitive, we're probably approval addicts. Fourthly, I'm probably an approval addict if I get envious of someone else's success. You know, when other people do well, when they get the promotion, when they succeed, am I envious of that? If so, I'm probably an approval addict. And finally, if I keep trying to impress important people, I'm probably an approval addict. You know, we used to call this sucking up. You know, when I'm always out to improve important people, to impress them. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I read this list, honestly, it challenges me. It may challenge you. If so, I don't apologize for that, because by God's grace, we can overcome approval addictions, but we need to call it what it is, and we need to get God's help to transform us. Well, approval addicts are always at the mercy of other people's opinion. Folks, approval addiction, if that's a problem for you, Jesus has a solution. Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the key to overcoming approval addiction. He starts in verse 1. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, when you serve others, don't do it to be seen by people. If that's your goal, there's no reward in that. There's no joy in that. No blessing from our Heavenly Father. The point is that we need to serve in secret. We need to serve without recognition, without people knowing what we've done. This will defeat approval addiction. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 6, he said, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, he says, don't be like the Pharisees, the hypocrites that, you know, when they're about to make a donation, they call everybody's attention. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm about to give a lot of money here. Look at me. No. He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He goes on to say, don't be like those hypocrites who love to pray in the marketplaces. Can you imagine? You're just praying with your hands outstretched and just praying loudly so everybody could see you. Jesus says, no. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This secrecy, this serving, this living for God in a way that is unseen by others is the secret of overcoming addiction approval. And finally, Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 17 to 18, he says, and when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. You know, back in Bible days, that was a good thing to put a little olive oil on and rub it in. They didn't have, some of the hair products we do today, but they would also rub it into their skin, have nice shiny skin. He says, you go ahead and you do that so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This serving in secret is the best way to combat approval addiction. People can't approve of you if they don't know what you've done, you see. And so you serve in secret. And this can be fun. And so the way it works is this. You do something good and don't let other people know about it, all right? And it's a lot of fun. So try it. It will really defeat approval addiction in your life. So why should we serve others? First of all, not for the approval of others, but for God's approval. Secondly, not so that I'll be the center of attention, but so that God will be glorified. We serve so other people will think well of God. Now listen, Luke 18 talks about these two men that went to pray. And in the temple, Jesus says two men went up to the temple and prayed. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. A Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Very appropriate words. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. He's comparing himself to others, you see. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast. He was the essence of humility. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, listen, I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so the point of it is, we serve not to draw attention to ourselves like this Pharisee, but to draw people's attention to God and how good God is. That's why we serve. Now listen, Jesus summed it up in this way, Matthew 5:16. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before men. We need to let our light shine. We need to serve. We need to help. We need to bless other people. Why? That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's the point. We serve not so that we will be thought well of, but so our Heavenly Father will be glorified. Now, the point is, when we serve, we have to be careful that we don't do it in order for people to notice us. That happens. I am thrilled to tell you that, there are some people here in this congregation who at times have had a special gift to someone. They wanted to help someone in need. And they said, Pastor Jeff, we don't want to give this to them so they'll know it's from us. We want to do it anonymously. So could you please give this money to this person and don't tell them who it's from? And that brings me great joy because I see that people want God to be glorified, not themselves. Folks, we need to beware of the spotlight. Anytime we are searching that spotlight, searching for the attention to be on us, look at me, look what I did. Hey, look at me, look at me. That's the problem. Yes, we need to serve, but we need to do it with the glory going to God. He's the one that needs the spotlight. Amen? Well, why should we serve others? First of all, not for the approval of others, but for God's approval. Secondly, not so that I'll be the center of attention, but so that God will be glorified. And thirdly today, not so that I'll look good, but so I'll be transformed. You see, the issue is here, this image management, you know, the appearance thing. I want people to look at me and respect me and love me. And no, that's not why I serve. I don't do it so I'll look good. I'll do it so I'll be changed. I'll be transformed. Notice what Jesus said to the disciples there in Mark 9. They came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? You know, Jesus was leading. He was out in front. The disciples were kind of lagging behind. But he knew they were arguing. And he waited till they got where they were going. And then he says, look, guys, what were you arguing about on the road? He knew. You know, it's kind of like parents who ask their children, you know, what were you doing? They knew. They know. But they had to get the confession. Well, the disciples kept quiet. They didn't want to answer that question because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. You know, Muhammad Ali syndrome. I am the greatest. And here, Jesus taught them a lesson. He said, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all. And then notice what he did. He took a little child and had him stand among the disciples. And then taking that child in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." He says, if you really want to get past this pride thing, you need to serve the little child. You need to welcome the little child. Jesus said it this way in John 10:42. He says, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." Jesus was saying, job one is to serve the little child. And friend, I don't serve the little child so much because the child needs it. I need to serve the child because I need it. And if I serve her well, and if I serve her often, and if I serve her out of the spotlight, it will change me. And somehow, we need to serve the little children. It'll be a blessing to them too. But folks, Jesus told the disciples, serve the children, because the disciples needed to do it. I need it. You need it. We all need to serve the little child, because serving will change us. It eliminates pride from our lives, works humility into us. And then we become more and more like Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. I need to serve the little child. So, summing up here, why do we serve others? Not for the approval of others, but for God's approval. Not so that I'll be the center of attention, but so that God will be glorified. Not so that I'll look good, but so that I will be transformed. That's why we serve. Let's take a quick look now at how we can serve others. And I want to share with you 6 practical suggestions from the scriptures. These are quick, but very important and very practical. And so how can we serve others? First of all, simply by meeting a need. Titus 3:1 says, "Always be ready to do something helpful." This is not complicated. You see a need, you meet it, you help someone. There are multiple opportunities every day to help people. You know, so you help someone at the office, or you find, at home. Do something that's not your responsibility, you know. And so if you do what you're supposed to do, there's no reward in that. But when you do something that is somebody else's responsibility, wow, you know, that's a blessing. Galatians 6:10, Paul says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers," especially to our church family. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Secondly, how do we serve others? By being interruptible. Being interruptible. Jesus was constantly interrupted. And you know, you read about what his ministry was like, and as he would go about from day to day, it says this person came, and this person came, and while he was on his way, another person came, and constantly he was being interrupted. But Jesus never said, "Look, I'm too busy. Go away. Call me another day. Text me." You know, no, he had time for people. He was interruptible. And of course, the story of the little children there. Matthew 19, it says, "The little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them." The disciples were saying, "Jesus is too busy for children. He's too important for children. You go away." But Jesus rebuked the disciples. He said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Jesus was always interruptible. You know, this has to do with our availability. And folks, if you are too busy to be available to others, then you are too busy. You control your schedule. And if you need to change some things, if you've got a problem with workaholism, whatnot, you make those changes in your life by God's grace. But make time to be available. Being interruptible is a second way we can serve others. Thirdly, by bearing another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." There are people hurting all around us. And when you come alongside someone and just help carry the burden of the pain, whatever it is they're working through, You're helping them bear that burden. You are serving others in a beautiful way. Fourthly, we can help others by serve others by being courteous, just by being courteous. Titus 3:2 in the Message says, God's people should be big-hearted and courteous. And often, we don't see this these days. We don't see people holding the door so much for other people, but even just thank you and yes, please, and letters of appreciation, but to let people know that they are special and they are loved, to affirm their worth by being courteous is one way we can serve others. Number five, we can serve others just by listening. I tell you, there is a huge need for this. So James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. And when James says quick to listen, he doesn't mean that you go about what you're doing while someone else speaks to your back. No, you turn and you focus on the person and you make eye contact and you nod at appropriate times and you interact so that they know. And when they've said their piece, it's often good to say, you know, what I heard you say is, and just paraphrase it, sum it up, because then people know that you were listening. And when you will do that, I tell you what, it gets exciting because people get animated when they know that you have listened well and you have heard them. It's a way that you can serve others. I encourage you to do it, to listen well. By the way, so many times, especially men, when we're listening to other people, particularly talking about their problems, we're trying to think about ways to fix it, right? And so our mind is busy thinking about how we're going to fix this when that's not really what they want. They just want you to listen. And so, there are times when I ask my wife, I said, do you want to fix here or you just want me to listen? You know, just check in. But by listening, you will bless people. You're serving people in a way, I tell you, that is so needed today. The reality is there are not many people who listen well in this world. And if you will listen to someone well, you are serving them. Finally today, how can we serve others? By extending hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh my, sometimes we grumble. And the Bible says we need to offer hospitality to one another. This is, by the way, this is not talking about entertaining, all right? Entertaining is a whole different thing. Hospitality is simply welcoming people into your home and caring for them, making them feel loved and that they are special. Serve people by offering hospitality. Friends, when we serve others, the gift of humility is worked into our lives. And somehow, as we serve, we end up being freed from having to have things our way. We end up being released from the bondage of having to have the approval of others. You know, Christ transforms us as we are serving others. And so may that be our prayer. Make me a servant today. It will change us and make us more like Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on The Five Pastors. Tonight's speaker was Pastor Jeff Potts. If you would like more information on what you heard in this message, feel free to email us, voar@voar.org. See you again Monday to Friday at 10 p.m. for more inspiring messages on The Five Pastors.